Yeah, but the thing is, the last time I tried to donate blood at work, they make you sign up for a time slot, like a 5-minute increment time slot. And I was like, okay, I'm going to show up at 8:45. And I got there and they're like, we had a bunch of walk-ins, so the wait is about an hour. And I was like, no. And I just left. And that was 6 years ago. And I haven't donated blood since. Go fuck yourself putting in the walk-ins in front of me. They're walk-ins. They go to the back of the line.
That's true. Everybody knows that. Everybody
I had
knows
a fucking
that.
Reservation at this restaurant. Welcome to Bruce Day Tuesday podcast episode 598. I'm Sam Ginsberg. Whoa, I know Jed Farber.
Wow, that was really good. I've never
that's
been
supposed
the
to be whoa. I know kung fu. Did that come through?
Yes. Yeah. Awesome.
Awesome. Yes. Well, thank you. I've never been the host. I don't think. So thank
you. Must
you.
Have been. This is your like. I can check. This is your 87th appearance. I've made you host once, right?
I don't think so, but I'm excited.
How many have I done? You just have that on hand?
Oops. We forgot to celebrate your centennial. This is your 102nd episode.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Amazing.
You and Mary have been jockeying for position for about 3 years now, but as of this episode, you have 4 on her, so you can coast a little bit.
Take that, Mary.
Wait, what number am I on?
This is your 87th.
So I'm the least experienced on the show right now.
Least experienced how?
Unless like Sam ladies, has done less than 100
podcast,
somehow.
With this talking podcast, to me, talking to
this
you.
This podcast, then yes, least experienced.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's an honor to host today. I'm excited to get the whole episode out. As we discussed, I've been planning for this for quite some time. But yeah, let's start with our beers. Well, beers in quotes. Sam, that looks very nice. I'm watching you pour it right now. Why don't you start?
Oh, I was trying to get it into the microphone, but instead I framed it gorgeously on camera. Because this is from Solemn Oath, which is the brewery I like, but they like to go with like a heavy metal vibe a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm not totally sure I can read these words because the typeface is so wild. Motion Poets is my best guess. I'll Google this later to make sure that's what it's called. Mm. It's an IPA, 7% ABV. There's a richness to the malt and to the hop. Extremely clean finish. Bordering on like cleaning product vibe. Just like it's crisp, clean, and then like maybe too clean.
Mm.
Antibacterial, whatever. Mm. But we'll see. I'm sure I'll just decide that I love it by the end of this because this is the type of beer for me. This is the opposite of the Bufalini effect. Jed, for the listeners, can you just explain the Bufalini effect?
Bufalini is...
Thanks for your help. I got it from here.
So the college bars. I don't
like Jed was saying about the Bufalini effect.
Did that would?
No, it is named for him, but for no reason, because he has a funny name, is all.
Okay. all right, well, of course.
Sometimes you get a beer where you're like, "This tastes really good," but why does it say it was called Raspberry Madness? It didn't taste like raspberry. It just tasted good with no raspberry.
Mm-hmm.
We call that the Bufalini effect, and for some of us, especially Tyler and I. That'll lose you a couple of points. 0.5 to 2 points, depending on how egregious. This is the opposite, though, where it's just, it's not doing anything that interesting. It's just doing exactly what it told me to do. And what it told me to do was just, what it told me was just an IPA. Okay, yes, this is that. And it hurts it just a little bit that it's like, okay, but like, give me something.
You want a little bit of a bad boy. You don't want a completely straight and narrow beer. You want them to walk the line.
I want you to drive 65 into 55, you know?
So there's like a Bufalini sweet spot, you're saying.
Yeah, it's a spectrum, it seems like.
Well, the Bufalini sweet spot is you told me that you made me something wacky, and it turned out wacky and also tasty.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
Do either of you have anything wacky and or tasty?
Zach, you go next.
All right. Well, what I've got, I don't know that I can vouch that it's wacky or tasty, is from Valdieu. I have a Grand Cru. So they're from somewhere in Belgium, I assume. And this is a Grand Cru. It is 10.5% ABV.
Can I get a spelling on that brewery?
Yeah, Val-Dieu.
Man, that would have been my 1,000th guess.
Yep. It poured out like root beer black, with a decently kind of like little foamy head on it.
Oh, you just said Valdieu. I knew Brasserie de la Baie de Valdieu.
Mm. Of course.
You shortened it in a way that I wasn't really familiar with.
I shortened it in the way that the bottle shortened it, because they probably didn't want to pay for the labeling.
Right.
It's way sweeter than I thought it was going to be. Like, really, really sweet. Almost like a port. Like I think Emily would like this, because it's boozy, and it's sweet and thick in the way like a port is, kind of like syrupy. So I don't know how I'm going to feel like 10 more sips down, but it is like a boozy and sweet kind of clingy mouthfeel that I am like right now like fine with, and I don't know if it's going to overstay its welcome.
I'm curious, Zach. I mean, you and I'm drinking an IPA. You and I could both say elements of an IPA that make you think this is an IPA or this isn't. Jed may even be able to do that. But when it comes to a Grand Cru, do you have adjectives that you would use?
I would say port-like would probably be the number one thing, probably in sweet.
Because the thing about a Grand Cru is I'm glad I briefed you both on the Bufalini effect. It's weirdly immune to the Bufalini effect because Grand Cru doesn't mean anything flavor-wise.
It just means the most alcoholic thing that a brewery makes, right?
It's saying this is my big swing, but that big swing could be an Imperial IPA, could be an Imperial Stout, it could be a Belgian Quad. Those could all be Grand Cru. Grand Cru just tells you, we're doing some shit. It doesn't actually tell you anything about what you're about to drink.
I think it's a Duble. The bottle doesn't say anywhere I could find on it, but I believe the shelf it was on at the beer store said a Duble. But I can't. It has to be almost like it has to be a Quad, I would assume, at 10.5. But I thought that's what it was labeled as.
I'm pretty sure it's just Double.
Okay. This was labeled that. But yeah, it's 10.5. It's beefy.
Well, now I feel like we need to. Can you check Untappd while Jed introduces his beer?
Yeah. Well, I don't have a beer today, as Sam well knew.
As I well forgot.
Yes, I have Blake's Hard Cider Cherry Limeade.
Hell yeah.
I don't think I've drank a cider in a few years at this point. So, but yeah, I opened the fridge, and I had a choice of a cider or not a cider, and we're going wacky today, where wacky is I'm drinking juice on Brews Day Tuesday. Yeah, I haven't had a cider in quite some time, but it's nice. It's really not as sweet as Woodchuck, which is the only cider I compare any cider to. So I like it a lot more than that. But I don't know. It's kind of, it feels weird to talk about ciders on this show.
I was trying to find the most recent cider check-in. Very recently, in fact, on episode 584, Control F. Misled me here. It was an apple cider donut beer. So that's still a beer. It's just, I guess, cider flavored.
Right. That has apple cider in it. It's not a cider.
Jack's Hard Cider. That must be a cider, right?
I believe so.
Okay. That was on episode 496. That was, anyone want to guess?
Mary.
Also Jed.
496? So how long ago was that?
Maybe 8 episodes ago for you.
Yeah, which is what, a year or two?
Yeah, 2 years.
2 years, okay. Okay. Well, fair enough. Yeah, but it is 6%, so it is a higher ABV than a lot of beers that people have had on these shows. So I'm happy about that. Tastes like juice. That's all I can say about it. Tastes like juice.
That's more than Zach or I can say for our respective beers.
Correct. Untappd says it's a Quad.
Quad, okay. That was your suspicion.
That's my suspicion. I don't think it was labeled like that in the store, but yeah, 10.5. I wasn't shocked.
All right, so I had something. Just a follow-up from the last episode. Oh, sorry, Jed, do you mind if I do my thing? I told you I had a little thing I wanted to do.
Yeah, is that okay for that? Yeah, I kind of had everything planned out in a certain structure, but if you want to do your thing, that's fine.
But just a follow-up from last week.
That's fine, so yeah, go ahead.
Just for some continuity.
Yeah.
As the listeners know, they know some of this. They know that we did the bracket last week and we had two finalists, but it hasn't yet been released to the listening public. I leaked it, which is to say told my parents, and somehow it hadn't already hit Twitter and trending. The big winner of the tournament was worst foods to eat in public. So I just thought we could bang out a quick 64 element bracket, just 64 entries in worst foods to eat in public. And then, you know, that'll take us 2-3 minutes, and then we'll be back to what you were saying, Jed, and we'll run a little long.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that's fine. That fits in well, because I had a gap in the plan for about an hour, so I was going to try and just – I didn't know how I'd fill that. So this actually
Wow, this is really great synergy.
Yeah.
So we had a few from what last week, maybe like 5-ish from last week that we should make sure we get on the list. I thought of a couple. I asked ChatGPT to make me a list, and it thought of 20, some of which are bad answers to the question. Cereal?
Yep.
Like, I guess.
First of all, where
like,
are you? Where are you?
Yeah. Like, you need to make sure you have your cereal and your milk and your bowl. So, like, I understand that, like, there's a couple elements that come into play. But, like, if you're just sitting on a bench eating Frosted Flakes, like, whatever.
I would remember that, though, if I saw somebody. It's not hard for me to do that. Like, it's very easy to eat Frosted Flakes on a bench as long as there aren't any birds around. But, like, if I saw someone doing that, I would walk home the whole way being like, what the fuck was that? Like,
that's enough that you tell your significant other when you get home, but it's not enough that you bring it up on a podcast.
I would tell you
if that. If you brought that here, we'd be like, okay, what else even up to Zach?
No, you know, I'd dress it up nice. I'd have it like a nice, it'd have a nice ambiance to it.
Oh, right. Yeah, you turn that 3-minute story into a 6-minute story easily. Anyway, so I have some entries from ChatGPT, and both of you, I let you know ahead of time that I was expecting you to come prepared to class.
With a single worst food, but yes, go on.
Wait, what's the single worst food?
No, that was just that's what you asked us to come prepared with, at least.
Oh, well, I thought maybe you would brainstorm a little.
Or we have a winner right now.
To let you in, Zach, after I booked Jed, I was like, all right, but ahead of time, make sure you're thinking of the foods you would be the most unhappy to see the person next to you on an airplane eating. And then half an hour later, I was like, that's not the one that won. That's the other one. And then I had to text Jed again to be like, wait, no, fuck that. I got
There's significant overlap. There's significant overlap.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I believe one of the things you said for airplane was a Yeti mug full of gin. I think that would also work for, I guess, like gin you can get away
with. That's easy as hell to eat that in public.
Yeah,
but like worrying. maybe now that it's a martini, like there's a skewer through it and it's in a classic martini glass. There's an olive in there.
Dude, people anything out of a martini glass. It's not a good glass.
Anyway, Jed, give us your first 12 and then we'll go from there.
I actually have a question before we start. What was the prompt last episode?
That's a great question. And I guess your internet must be down. Otherwise, you would have heard
well,
the
it
episode
hasn't been released to the public yet, as you well know.
No, I released it. I released the episode 2 days ago, but we didn't know the actual winner until today. Anyway, it was – so we do a bunch of food brackets, specifically with Mary. We did, like, best soups, best sandwiches. We did – I found a dumb article on the internet, and we did those 64. So we always do food brackets. So I said food brackets. Now, Tyler's first pitch was video games because he didn't realize we were doing food brackets.
Fair.
Mitch and I actually pitched food brackets like pizza topping, pasta shape, that type of thing. And Zach decided to get weird with it and only had weird pitches. We bracketed brackets and of food brackets, and this was the food bracket that won. This was one of Zach's pitches that I still can't believe won, but, you know, we move on.
All right. Jeb, would you like to hear the bracket items that I presented?
Yes, I think that'll help me as well.
Yeah, and so these went against things like cookies and desserts. So worst foods to eat in public, obviously. Mm-hmm. Best nuts in the mixed nuts. I didn't realize we were doing 60. You know, there's only like six in there. Worst foods to see the person next to you eat on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
It was mug of Everclear, Sam.
It was close enough.
my sleeper would have been large bowl of hot soup.
Yeah.
That's just bad. And then most relatable food addictions. So this was real items from the show Freaky Eaters about people addicted to specific foods. And it was their foods that they were really addicted to that I found the most relatable compared to some of the stuff on there.
Right.
So obviously I won.
So were all of your answers in the finals?
No, weirdly, only one of them was in the finals.
I spread his answers out through each one. Well, I guess no, you could have. If it had really gone crazy, you could have final foured the whole thing, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, weirdly, I don't know. Sam's dad was not into any of it at all. He was not having
it. Neither was I, for the most part.
It was really funny.
But my mom came through for you, at least, with that tie break. for this exact entry. I think that was the first or second matchup. Okay, but enough delay. Jed, hit me.
Okay, I have three.
Okay. Well, we'll lead with what we have. I'll probably make some cuts from ChatGPT's suggestions, and then maybe we'll brainstorm the rest.
Okay. So the prompt is worst foods to eat in public or to see someone eat in public.
Yeah.
Okay. So number one for me is tuna. Tuna is...
Can we get more specific? Are we talking like a tuna salad sandwich?
Tuna salad sandwich. Tuna... Just the smell of tuna fish. I like tuna, and I can't stand the smell of tuna when someone else is eating it.
Bro, that's how I feel about hard-boiled eggs and egg salad. If it's across the room, I'm like, bro, who's eating a bunch of farts? And then if I'm sitting at the table, I'm like, let me get a bite of your farts, man.
Yeah. So tuna is up there. That's okay. on a plane. That would be probably my number one answer also. This is a hyper specific to me, but Cool Ranch Doritos, I really do not like. Love nacho cheese Doritos. The smell of Cool Ranch Doritos, I think, is disgusting.
It tastes like licking a battery. Like
I cannot.
And the awkwardness to eat it in public is just that you get the dusties, or just you hate it so much that you don't want to be around it.
Yes, it's the latter.
I don't think this is gonna make it that far, but also there's gonna have to be some losers in here. We're trying to fill it out.
Yeah,
they can't all be winners, and I've got a stable full of thoroughbreds right now.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess I have two more.
Yeah.
I would say wings, spicy wings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then
buffalo wings is what we're saying here.
Yes, and then in that same air, ribs. So
I had that on my list.
Yeah, so those are two that are very similar, I think, in their I don't know, impracticality of public eating. So that was my list that I brainstormed in the last 2.5 minutes.
All right. Great. I'm glad I texted you well in advance. Tuna. Bust it out, Zach.
Tuna just came to my mind, and I was like, well, tuna's my answer. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, gotcha.
Zach, what do you got?
Okay. So my first thing on this is in no particular order for me. Chocolate-covered bananas. A little homoerotic. They're cold. You have to bite like a cold. It's like ice cream that you have to bite the entire time. I have sensitive teeth.
So many structural risks there. Like if the chocolate melts, that a problem. But also if it gets a little top heavy, then it splits in half. That's a different important problem.
Wow. It's gonna tip. It's a ticking time bomb. It's horrible. Yeah, everything about the experience sucks. Number two, crab legs. similar thing, I think, to kind of chicken wings without the sauce, but you have the mechanical difficulty. It's messy. You can embarrass yourself if you do it wrong. So crab legs, spaghetti casually. You don't like dignified hard shell tacos. They just collapse on you. Pho is all the difficulty of spaghetti, plus it's a hot soup, so strap in there. Kiwis, I think they're just a difficult fruit to eat. Just if you were out and about, it's not like an apple. And I don't want to like fish it out with a spoon in public. Sloppy Joe's, wet sandwich, no good. Head on shrimp. That's just like, why do I have to take care of this? Like, why can't I take care of this? What am I paying for?
Right.
Honestly. Salads with really big leaves in them. I feel like you always kind of look like a cow eating this. Pisses me off.
You got spinach hanging out both sides. That's not a good look.
Yeah, exactly. It sucks. Soup dumplings, similar thing. It's like somewhere in this is a ball of hot liquid. Just, we're not going to tell you where. Be careful. So it's stressful at dim sum. A poorly rolled burrito.
Oh,
the burrito parentheses poorly rolled, I think.
Yeah, where it's like falling, the butt's falling out, like when you're trying to eat it.
Yeah.
Cannoli. Don't really think a cannoli is great to eat walking about. Corn on the cob. A Reuben, kind of another wet sandwich.
Sandwich also.
Yes, exactly. It's logistically difficult. I have coleslaw. I just think it's kind of just shredded cabbage and mayonnaise. No structural integrity there. Peanut covered taffy apples. Legitimately, I think impossible to eat. Like, the peanuts just make it sharp. It's like, you know, this rounded surface that you're trying to bite that's covered in like caramel. Well, now it's got corners everywhere. Like, good luck.
Yeah.
We lost a lot of good rooms of our mouth on those things. Meat skewers, just like kebabs, any sort of meat on a metal skewer.
That was the wife's pick, if I recall.
Yep. And sushi hand rolls. It's like an awkward shape. It's going to fall apart. It's too big to eat in one bite, but it's not structurally sound.
What would be worse, a sushi hand roll or a sushi rito?
I would much rather struggle through a sushi hand roll than a sushi rito. The amount of rice, of like cold sushi rice, that bugs me out, like texturally. It makes me gag.
It feels like it was invented for exactly white people who don't really understand sushi or burritos.
Yes.
So you can.
I know a Mexican guy did not do that. A Mexican guy did not do that. A Japanese guy did not do that. No, it was definitely an American. Let's see. So sushi hand roll, chili dog.
You know what I saw on a chili dog down by the Tasty Freeze?
What are you saying? You're from the past?
That's from a song. That's a famous song.
Jack and Diane. This is
That's
class.
Right. Thank you. I couldn't remember the title. Thank you.
That's your possessed.
Honestly, Zach can make me feel insane. And then Jed was there for me pretty much immediately.
I thought, I was like, he lost it. He went quiet and he went quick. Like, he's gone. Ice cream on a cone, same kind of ticking like time bomb problem. Stressful. Nature Valley bar. This was Holly's. I said this only is true if you care about other people and how they're enjoying a space around you, but Nature Valley bar was hurtful. Sure.
I mean, the crumbs will go everywhere, but then as soon as they hit the ground, no one's going to see them anymore.
Yeah, it's international waters as far as crumbs are concerned. it's nobody's business. And then one of those big lollipops, I think, just also because I feel like that would be a weird thing to try to eat in public.
I'm picturing boy in sailor suit, that type of lollipop.
Oh, yeah. Big time, yeah.
How do we feel about giant candy as a category? Because, like, there's the giant gummy bear. There's giant...
The big gummy worm.
Oh, my God. No, yeah. I'm putting... novelty sized gummy bear. I've seen bunnies of that for Easter. I guess I might as well put Easter bunny chocolate while we're
that's
here.
That's true, actually. That's difficult to eat as well.
All right. I have a handful. To be honest with you, I also was cramming right before class started and thought up about six while six of the ones I had were named by other people. So like I had crab legs and ribs and others on here. But also I thought of others while I was in here. Pomegranate.
Mm, yeah.
There's a lot of weird spitting that goes on there. I had elote on my list, which feels like I'm just chomping Zach because it's just corn on the cob, but messier.
You should sub that. You should sub that for corn on the cob because, yeah, it's 10 times harder to eat elote than it is corn on the cob. It's like, what if there was shit all over it?
Wait, what is elote? I've never had elote.
Oh, man, it's so good. So it's like, imagine corn on the cob, and then there's like butter spread across it, and then cheese, I think.
Oh, I'm looking at it now. And then, okay.
And like a little bit of chili powder or something across the top. It's just like...
It's loaded corn on the cob.
It's loaded corn on the cob.
Yeah. Okay. It's really good. And it's also weird, though, that we bring it up here, because I feel like it's exclusively served in public places. Like, it's like it's yeah, like fair food, and like carnival food, which is so funny. I was thinking about this like while I was coming up with it, because I was like, yeah, chocolate covered banana sucks. And I was like, just the chili dog by itself sucks. I was like, weirdly, corn dog, somehow super easy to eat in public. I don't have any of these like issues with like a normal-sized corn dog.
You know what? I'm going to put corn dog on here.
No,
oh, dude, that's the first round out. I think they're convenient.
Yeah, corn dog's gonna win or gonna lose. What about funnel cake? Can we get funnel cake?
It's great you said that because I think you were thinking fair food. Like yes, I was thinking fair food. I put elephant ear on, which is I guess the Midwest way of saying funnel cake. I'll switch it to funnel cake. Don't want to have to explain this shit to Tyler.
Why would you eat an elephant ear, Sam? I thought we were gonna say foods. A bat wing, fine.
I put popsicle on here, which is you know, just purely phallic based. When you said when we were debating hand rolls versus sushi Ritos, I was like, I'm just gonna put sushi Rito on here. And when you said ice cream cone, maybe you also think this should be a sub, but this is just a sloppier version of what you said, a dipped ice cream cone.
I feel like if the shell stays hard longer, it can kind of keep it together a little longer, but it's like hiding all the flaws inside. It's like as soon as you crack that shell, it just all falls out.
Well, then maybe we'll disagree, so I'll put it on opposite sides of the bracket. They could only possibly meet each other in the finals.
In the finals, yeah, no. You know those when you go to the ice cream truck and they have those like Spider-Man popsicles with the gum in the eyes?
Oh, yeah.
Why would you give me gum in the middle of ice cream? It's like I'm clearly eating this.
Do you want me to put in bubblegum ice cream?
It has to be clear that, I mean, that specific, that one Spider-Man one that all of the ice cream trucks had.
Yeah.
That had gumballs for eyes.
Okay, what's the most concise way to
look, I can't do everything for you.
Spider-Man popsicle.
Popsicle with eyes, Spider-Man / SpongeBob.
They did have SpongeBob ones too, yeah.
I would like to add s'mores to the list, actually.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know where the apostrophe goes. Between the S and the M?
Yes. Well,
it depends if there's multiple s'mores or there's just one that has a
possession. Or if it belongs to the s'mores.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's an interesting grammar question. Where does, if it belongs to plural s'mores,
where that's the S apostrophe, right? S'mores is this. Is one called a s'more? Or is it a s'more?
Well, that just makes me think about, it is, you'd think that multiple Skittles is Skittles and a single Skittle is a Skittle, but that's not right. It's called a Skittles lentil.
No. Ew, I hate that. No.
What do you mean?
In the same way as it's not a Lego, it's a Lego brick. Legos is the, so it's not plural Legos, it's Lego bricks and a Lego brick.
It's gotta be tough to be the one guy dying on this hill over at the Lego headquarters, and everyone's like, look, we're just gonna call them Legos because you don't sell anything else. So.
I don't know if you've been on the autistic internet lately, but there are plenty
of people who fight that fight. It's all the autistic internet. The only thing that gets me by online is whenever I read something really stupid, I just go, it's probably a 14-year-old. Like it's honestly helped me feel a lot better. I was like, you know what? That kid's just doing their best. I'm just going to move on.
Oh, I always do. I assume that's a troll. That helps me.
Just assume it's that person's first idea.
First ever idea.
Look, they're gonna get better from here. That's their first one.
Speaking of undeveloped brains, Jed, what do you think about me running through some of the suggestions I got from ChatGPT?
Yeah, we have time for that. Go for it.
Let's see how it goes.
So I think we're gonna, I don't know if someone wants to keep score, but I think we're gonna have a bunch of dupes, which makes me feel like either we did a good job or this fake brain did a good job.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Number one, spaghetti. Got it. Two, ribs. Uh-huh. Got it. Three, I think this is a good suggestion. I don't think it's going that far, but I think it's a good suggestion. Burger with excessive toppings.
Great.
Mm, that's true. Tall burger.
Yeah, we talked about tall sandwich. So, yeah.
It's like a Reuben. It's like a Christian Reuben. They'll understand.
We're
filling similar niches here. But again, we're at 37 of 64. So we're going to have to start getting a little generous.
It's East Coast, West Coast.
Which one is burgers?
Come on. Which one do you think is Reuben?
Yeah.
Like, go the other way.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't like process that. Of elimination could have gotten me there. Wings we have. They just said tacos. We have hard shell tacos. I think that's just a better way of saying the right answer. Artichokes. I think that's a good answer.
That's a great
answer. Is that true?
That's weird. I mean, you got to boil them and then you got to peel the leaves off.
That would be bad.
Well, you're supposed to
just open one on the train.
Scrape the flavor off the leaf with your teeth.
Yeah.
And then put the leaves in a really gross pile. So, that sounds fucking nasty to do in public.
Artichokes are
delicious. I don't think I've ever eaten an artichoke, like, by itself.
So you boil it and then you have to have, like, butter that you're dipping, like melted butter, you know?
Oh, hell yeah.
So it's delicious, but the amount of, like, meat on each leaf is, like, the tiniest little amount, and you literally scrape it off with your teeth.
And it's, like, just an inefficient way of eating butter.
It's awesome.
Inefficient, but your parents allow you to eat it.
So you're the only one
who's making healthy choices. Yes.
You're the only one who's had this artichoke eating experience. Would you agree that would be awkward to eat in public?
It seems unfathomable to eat in public.
Okay, well, it may go far. What's
I'm just imagining carrying it through a park and, like, you're just like,
what the fuck?
Yeah.
Crab legs we have. Lobster. Mm. That feels a little bit like we're just doing crab legs again, but I'll put it on. Corn of the cob. Oysters, now that is its own seafood disgusting experience.
Yeah.
In a restaurant, it's not bad. Like,
right.
You know, like, you'd be out in public, like, eating oysters out of the half shell. I don't think that's that horrible. You might not like them, but I don't think they're difficult.
Just the noise it makes, man.
Yes, I think that is, like, there are definitely people that care about the slurping element. I do not, but Sam clearly does. So I think the slurping element can get you...
If you were doing it, would you feel like you were being disruptive? Like, would you not like it when you make the noise?
No, I don't want to hear the noise ever. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it on a podcast. I don't want to see it on TV. I don't want that noise around.
But and you don't want to make it either. You don't want to make the noise either.
Because I would hear it. I guess if you could put noise-canceling headphones, like, inside my sinuses, then I would be cool with it.
Amazing. All right, yeah. Let's put it in there. I feel like, yeah.
Again,
I've
we're
never
filling
felt
it out.
That strongly
about
anything.
Spots left.
Yeah.
I might, after I get all 64, feed it back in and say, categorize these and seed them, you cuck, and see what happens.
Sure.
I'll say, yes, daddy, then I'll make you a little bracket. Mm. And like, who taught that?
Next, tuna sandwich. Stole yours. I think tuna salad, it's good to have the specificity. Next, it just says garlic heavy dishes, which is just clearly from a stank perspective. Does anyone have a garlic heavy dish that comes to mind immediately? Because I'd rather have something more specific.
Confit garlic, like just like cured garlic.
What about raw garlic at that
point? Like, just bite it like an apple.
Like a
I'll just leave garlic heavy dishes in.
I don't think I think that's not going to get very far, frankly.
It's okay if it doesn't get very far, as long as you think it should be welcomed to the dance.
I don't think it should be, but it is a food. Yes.
I'll tell you what, if you don't like it, come up with 23 better ideas.
23? Oh, God. Okay.
Kimchi, I think we're getting just into smell town here. Durian, I've heard smells terrible. I've never experienced it.
Yes.
It has hard-boiled eggs on here. We talked about eggs, but I don't think we ever actually put it on.
Hard-boiled eggs. That, peeling a hard-boiled egg, yeah, would be not
easy. I haven't even thought about peeling. I think this is just about the stank, but yeah.
I don't think they really smell that strongly. I don't think I can smell hard-boiled eggs from across the room.
You would have to crack it and then peel it, and then you never get every little thing, so you need to, like, run it under a tap or something. Yeah, no, that would suck.
Yeah, you're spitting out shells, yeah.
Okay, so next one, we put pho on already, so I don't think adding noodles in soup really introduces a novel experience.
I think for the context of this, I think it should be pho slash ramen, we should say.
Yeah, that same kind of family of stuff.
Because they satisfy the same things for the purpose of this bracket.
Yeah.
Like a topping-laden soup.
Next is French onion soup. I don't think a French onion soup is being that messy. Like, there's the crust or whatever it's called on top.
There's the cheese and the little baguette
that's
slices.
Like, that's usually like 1.5 messy bites, and now you're eating soup.
You're eating soup, yeah. I agree.
Salad with large leaves. We have that almost word for word.
Ooh, that's scary.
Oh, pho or ramen. Okay, so... I don't know why they put pho, ramen, and noodles in soup on here. Fucking pick a lane.
It's padding.
And so the last one is cereal or soup.
But those aren't close at all. Those aren't the same.
Well, some people call
that's taking a stance. Soup. That's taking a stance is what that is.
Cereal slash soup, other soups. <you're> like,
I'm going to put cereal on here just again for filling it out. We have 19 openings.
All right, I'm going to lean on Jed here because I thought of 25 things. And I think that's everything I've ever had a feeling about.
Oh, my God. Okay. Perspective. We're putting oysters on. We agreed on that, right?
We already put that on.
Can we do oysters unshucked and oysters on the half shell as two separate food items?
Unshucked oysters. Someone's like, here, you want a snack? You're like, how the, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this?
That has been said to me before. Someone has... given me an oyster.
Did they give you the little knife?
Yes.
Okay. They gave you the knife at least. They didn't expect you to gnaw it open.
I was being mugged. I hucked my wallet at him. I don't know. Like,
if you have oysters unshucked, you're just like, hey, I found this unshucked oyster.
Ew. Yeah. You're not a restaurant. You just found that on the beach. I don't want that.
I don't think I'm gonna add that. Sorry.
Okay. How about uncracked walnuts? I'm just thinking of things you have to open right now.
Pistachios, yeah, is that same thing. But you get the thing that's about pistachios is it's embarrassing to not be able to open one. Because a walnut, like, unless you're fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger, you're not getting that walnut right now. Like, that's not going to happen right now. But, like, a pistachio you should be able to do. So when you get those ones that they don't even have a line in them, they're, like, almost completely closed. You're like, what am I supposed to do about this? It's going to hurt my thumbnail a little bit. So on to the next one.
Okay, peanuts, or are we getting too samey here?
I put uncracked walnuts and pistachios on here. I feel like we get it.
Okay.
And also, I rarely have had a difficult peanut, as opposed to most pistachios are a pain in the ass.
Peanuts are not difficult. That's a different thing. It's the amount of waste that you have the amount of meat. Yes, the messy effect.
I'll put peanuts on here. You convinced me.
Ooh, if we're doing legumes, what's it? Oh, edamame.
Edamame.
That's slide them out under there, and it's always, like, very deliberate. And the funniest thing happened on a work trip where we were in Hawaii. One of the guys we were with, like, wasn't paying attention, and he reached into the bowl of just skins, and then he put it in his mouth again, and nothing came out. And he was no. He was like, And I was like, there was a 25% chance that was one of yours, and just choose to think that it was yours.
You should have given him a big wink.
Oh, I like the way you took that down. Which actually, that would be the most intimate and grossest sexual thing you could do at a restaurant without getting kicked out, I think. Is like you're on a date with a girl, first date, and you pick up one of her edamames out of the bowl and you just
Do you each get two peas?
And you just suck it. You just suck the used edamame shell after she uses it. And I think that's the grossest thing you can do on a date without getting kicked out of a restaurant.
I was thinking you just Lady in the Tramp, a single edamame.
No.
You blow from either side and you have a war. You see who has
the beating up. Who can get the last edamame?
Yeah, but edamame, I think, is a pussy ritual. But like, that guy eating a used edamame, I was like, never even knew I was afraid of doing that until I saw you do it.
Yeah.
I just added T-bone steak. It's like, I feel like any steak. Obviously, at a restaurant.
Two right angles in my steak? What the fuck am I supposed to do? What am I, a lathe? Like an industrial lathe? But then I'm just
imagining being in the park. Like, oh, I meant to pack a ham sandwich, but instead I have a T-bone steak in here.
Like a stray dog.
When you said in public, I'm only thinking of eating food in a park.
I mean, there's a lot of public places.
Yeah.
I guess at a restaurant, none of these are that interesting.
Okay, I'd like to add
popsicle with eyes, Spider-Man /
You're in a nice restaurant. I'm like, Sam, you're embarrassing me in the restaurant. You just try to eat this big Spider-Man lollipop.
Okay, add lamb.
That sounds like it should be on. I think you should leave.
You're embarrassing
That's
me.
This whole premise is I think you should leave.
Yeah.
I think lamb should be added because the bone and the mental. You have to decide how hardcore you're going to go to get the meat off the bone at the end. And that's like just a judgment that it's like if you're eating wings and you're going hard at the bone, like no one's going to bat an eye. But you have a nice lamb and you're like trying to get every little morsel. It's like, yeah.
You're in the park. There are people that pull their kids away from you.
I think that has to be our last entry in. Because there's bones. We have enough because there's bones. So we'll call it there.
How about popcorn with added sticky substance?
The dick going up through the bucket?
The dick at the bottom. It goes down smooth every time.
In public.
Like caramel popcorn. Any type of popcorn that inherently just gets your hands sticky the moment you touch it.
So now you're thinking sticky. Sticky.
Yes, I'm back. I'm
over. What else is
those sticky? Big cheese balls? Those like the tubs of cheese ball. Ooh, Pringles actually. I think Pringles, a can of Pringles, just logistically, because you look desperate by the end of a Pringles. It's like withholding in a way that most food is not. Where it's like you know you want the bottom of this. I'm like I don't. It's that too much work. They're like try it, you fucking raccoon. And I'm like yeah. I'm like scooping them out by the end.
Yeah,
we could do a whole bracket on. What snack food gets the most little bits on your fingies? I think probably.
I mean, obviously, it's Flamin' Hot Cheetos would be.
I think cheese puffs are up there.
I think goldfish that are flavor blasted are a sleeper. Flavor.
Pair. We're not supposed to be flavor blasted. The Lord did not want us flavor blasted, and I firmly believe that.
I think flavor blasted goldfish can go on this list, frankly.
Feel very seen.
Okay, are there any drinks that we're trying to put on this list, or are we kind of sticking only to food?
If you have a good pitch for a beverage, I'll hear it.
I mean, root beer float. You could put something like that on here.
That's great. That's great.
That's a good one for ones that I don't feel that awkward if you're eating it in public, but I feel really awkward if I'm eating.
Ice cream needs a stable base under it. Otherwise, you're just bonking it down into the root beer when you're trying to get a scoop.
It's like, ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
I shouldn't have to deal with it. What am I, some kind of medieval peasant? Like, just
we can put
cream.
A man on the moon, but you can't make my ice cream floatier?
No, yeah, you can't make ice cream that floats and then sits firmly on top of a liquid.
You're saying that. What's the person thinking that exclaimed that? Like, what are they picturing that made it say that?
As float of the name! Why is it sinking?
That guy's under a bridge in L.A. That guy's not doing important societal work right now. oh, shit. Okay, what else is really hard? Trying to think of where what else is really hard to eat. I don't like, you know, like the calamari that's strictly the bottom tentacles of the squid.
Oh, you don't like that?
That piece of, I think it'd be weird to have a bucket of just that.
Okay, I agree with that for sure.
What's a better phrasing for that?
I've been calling them squid bottoms, but I don't know what you want to call them.
I'm going to put in calamari and then in parentheses squid bottoms. And the thing is, when it comes up South in the bracket, side, yeah. You guys won't be there, but I will. And so I'll be responsible for explaining this, and I will not be able to.
I'm trying to think, like, where else I've, like, called, like, other international places I've been. What food do they eat? Where I was like, that was dumb. Yeah, they all just have it figured out.
I'm going to put yard of ale. You know, like, in Vegas,
they still have one of those
big, dumb cups.
Those suck to drink out of.
Yeah.
And they always splash you at the end. Because it builds up too much speed coming out from the bottom.
Because you got to get a good suck going.
Mm-hmm. We all learned that.
Let's see. All I will say, in New Orleans, just being able to drink on the street, my favorite thing in the world. In heaven, you can drink on the street. But I can't believe they allow it in, like, a civilized society.
It's not civilized.
Like, you're at work. Yeah, it's not. It's not.
That's the point.
We got T-bone steaks. We got head-on shrimp.
How about calzone? Oysters.
Ooh. You got a knife and fork it.
But
I'm not looking for that to win. I think it probably squeaks in.
Yeah, it's a tough one. That's a tough one for sure.
Is baked potato anything?
I think is nachos something?
Nachos. I like loaded nachos for sure. We could do a whole 20 minutes on the ethics and the appropriateness of how you eat your loaded nachos and like what is expected of you.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
No, we're just about to wrap up. I have some stuff I wanted to get back to. So
right, you mean six foods and then rating the beers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, a good nacho is wider than it is tall. You gotta go wide, but it's not impressive to bring out a wide, flat array of nachos. But like that is obviously the best.
Yes. Yes. Completely.
I made
it's nachos. Selfish of restaurants to make them really tall. It's selfish.
It is.
I made nachos for my daughters yesterday, and because I understand that concern, double layered it, like layer of chips, layer of cheese, layer of chips, layer of cheese. They don't want the good stuff like beans and jalapenos. They just want chippy cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And then I served it up then. I was like, that looks gorgeous, and neither of you will ever appreciate this.
Wow.
I could have done the extra layer. Work. They would have never known. But I knew.
Yeah, somewhere.
That there was going to be leftovers on that plate, and I wanted to eat.
I was just thinking of the category worst foods for your kids to be eating in public.
One of those big gummy penises from bachelorette parties. A martini, also really bad.
Okay. Really bad. That was, Zach, that was a very good bad food for your kids to be eating. That
you if see. You saw someone's kid eating gummy dicks from a bachelorette party, you'd be like, they're fucking up really bad. They're really doing a bad job.
I agree with you. I agree.
Emily got a life-sized popsicle dick at her bachelorette party. And I was like, what do you want me to do with this? And she was like, I don't know. And then like 2 years later, I was like, should we throw this out? And she was like, I don't know. And then 2 years later, I was like, I should throw this out. And it was just in our house for a while.
I can't believe you didn't eat it. I feel like I would have gotten high and eaten it one day. I'd be like, all right, there's nothing in here but the dick and the lollipop.
Yeah, right.
You just need a little sugar to balance out
your kids walk in on you. That'd be the worst foods for your kids to walk in on you eating.
That just got it on the list.
It's not what it looks like. Yeah, you get kicked out of that park for sure.
How many more do we need here?
If we're counting the Dixicle, 5.
We are counting the Dixicle.
Okay.
What's
that? How that could possibly lose to normal
popsicle?
Large lollipop if it's biologically accurate dick-shaped lollipop.
Well, that's so on the nose. The lollipop is like the innuendo of it all. I think it's the mystery that people find so sexy.
I just hope they don't match up because I don't know. It's not that interesting.
It's a Sophie's choice to me. I think you could argue that All day long till the cows come home.
All right, five.
So bag of milk, like Canadian bag of milk. You go to the shop, presumably, and you get a bag of milk.
Do people drink it? I've seen the mechanism where you put the bag of milk.
It just
milk
goes in a little mini bucket.
In like a pitcher of sorts. Yeah.
And they like snip the top off and they're like, once again, well, just sell it in that, like we do. Just sell paper versions of that that you can just have. You don't have to have it in a bag at all. They're like, what are you talking about? What are you fucking talking about?
I'm happy, now I'm happy to include that, though.
Yeah, for Canada. That's for our Canadian listener.
Yeah.
Bag of milk. Tough to eat in public. Tough.
You know what? Wow, speaking of Canadian shit, poutine.
Poutine, yeah. Let's put poutine on there.
Correct. You need to be drunk enough to not feel ashamed to eat poutine, I think.
Here's the problem with fucking poutine is that you cannot lift a cheese curd up with a French fry. Like, you can't. That doesn't make sense.
It's like the devil invented nachos. The scooping
it
doesn't
like scoop that. It's like, what the
it's
hell?
It's a sick perversion of nachos.
It is, though.
That's so funny. I've never thought of that. That is so true.
It's like you got to balance, or you got to take four fries and scoop it, and then you got to
do it like chopsticks.
Why are you using your hands? Why are you using your hands at all?
Because he's just wasted.
Skewer it on a fork. You just skewer it.
They don't always have forks in public, okay?
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. It would be very difficult to eat with your hands.
Okay, a fork. I don't need a fork where here's the French fries. I'm like, you know, the fork is stuck. Yeah. Like what? I come up at the normal angle for a fork and I got fries like out, like they look like cat's whiskers on me and I got into my mouth.
You're right.
I think I'm gonna clip that last 15 seconds to be a soundbite on the soundboard because you sound insane.
It is insane. I'm talking about something insane. That's how I feel.
Wake up.
Wake up, Canada. I did love it, though.
It's great. It tastes great. It does taste great. No one's questioning that. Oh,
we're close enough to Canada that every now and then a restaurant has poutine around here.
Yeah.
I never get that shit at a restaurant. I'm like, look, dude, I'm fucking old. Do you think I'm going to go home, try to touch my wife all full of, like, gravy and french fries? I don't think, not to that beautiful woman. I'm not doing that to her. Are you kidding me?
Well, that's why I eat poutine. Well, at least this way I can say, sorry, honey, I had poutine.
She goes, I don't care. Flip over. Like, huh?
What?
What? What?
Onto my back?
Oh, kinky.
Okay.
She wants to look at me this time, that freak.
Okay, we have like three more.
We can do this. Butterfinger BBs. It basically feels made to choke children.
Okay.
It just seems really difficult to eat. Like, why would you risk it? It's like, if you bite this wrong, it's going to shoot into the back of your throat.
Yeah, like a bullet. Just
like a bullet, yeah.
Wax bottles, is that a thing?
Are you talking about like candy Coke bottles?
Yes, they're wax bottles with like one drop of juice in them.
Oh god!
Now I'm thinking of candy glass, like that's
candy cigarettes. Have you been to an old candy store and seen candy cigarettes? That's actually, that might be in the kid bracket of like, if you see a kid light up a candy cigarette, you're like, why does that kid know how to play a blues guitar? Like, what the fuck is going on in that kid's life?
Why are the women all crowding around that little boy?
Why is that kid so cool?
Kid's cool as fuck. What the hell?
Yeah, I'll put candy cigarettes on here. That rounds us out.
Oh my god. I know they're not hard to eat, but gushers were the only food as a kid. I was like, we're not supposed to be having that.
You gotta stop talking about candies that are awkward to eat in public. We're done now.
Gushers aren't hard to eat. You can pop them, you can hide them in your mouth, but I remember eating them as a kid being like, shouldn't be doing this. This isn't good.
Every now and then I would eat it in two bites so I could look in the middle. Never liked what I saw.
Mm-hmm. Gushers, yeah, there's a lesson in there.
Gushers taste like battery acid in a delicious way.
In a good way.
Yeah, I get that. You can feel your teeth rotten. I'm probably just going to alphabetize these like I did the last bracket because I feel like if I categorize it, then it's just going to end up being What's worse, the thing with the bones or the thing with the stank? And then it's just not interesting anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. No, I wasn't. I almost gave you more work to do, but I'm not going to do that.
Oh, you can request it, but no
problem. Well, I mean, you just have like the divisions, like messy foods, bone-in foods, like hard
foods.
No, that's what I'm looking to avoid, because then we're really having 8 mini ones of like, which is the worst bone-based food team? And that's like, we're just compare. It's bones to bones.
I think it's T-bone, just because there's two right angles in there. Like, it sucks to eat a T-bone.
Yeah.
But I'd rather get to hear the T-bone versus pasta matchup and then the wings versus tall sandwich matchup, you know?
The best way to cut a T-bone is someone holding the steak in their hand, and then you can, like, saw down on it. That's the best.
Someone that really trusts you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they don't have to really trust.
Yeah, yeah. The trust's got to go both ways there.
They can't be like fondling railings everywhere you go. You need clean hands for that sort of operation.
So we're not gonna do the bracket, right? We're the masterminds behind the bracket.
Well, I'll be involved. It's me generally. Me, Mary, and Tyler are the three voters in each matchup.
I'm excited to hear what Mary has to say about this whole thing.
I honestly could not believe she cast the championship ballot in your favor.
I could. It went on a tiebreaker every single round because me and Tyler voted for it every single time, and you and your dad voted against it every single time.
Every single time. Every now and then, everyone was just like, yeah, either of this is fine. So whoever voted last was like, with the majority, let's move on.
No. Emily did a tiebreaker. My wife did a tiebreaker. Your mom did a tiebreaker. And Mary did a tiebreaker. That has to be every round.
Oh, I thought you meant every matchup.
No. Every single matchup for this category specifically went to tiebreaker.
I believe that. Wow. I would have to listen back, but I believe that.
How many people were voting on this?
So it was me, Tyler, Zach, and my dad. And if we tied, we went to one of our respective significant others. And then in the end, we called Mary, and she didn't pick up. So she had to let us know later. Who
the podcast significant other. Mary.
Yes, correct.
I feel like that diminishes her relationship with the show. She's let me check her stats. She's got you. She's number 5.
Got me beat. Everyone's what am I? Number 6?
Yeah.
Is Rainer still ahead of me?
No. Rainer's 8.
Wait. Sam,
we gotta run it down real quick.
Zach, Mary. Yes. Who
are you?
Boris? Yeah, Boris is number 3. There was about a year and a half in there where it was just him every week. Like, it was the three of us for a while there before we went back to cycles.
Okay. Fair enough. So yes, what am I?
Me, Tyler, Boris, Zach, Mary, Jed, 3 stacks at 74 appearances. And then you drop way down to Becca at 19.
Oof.
And then Rainer at 18.
Rainer had 18 appearances.
Yeah. Mitch has 12.
Mitch is getting up there.
How close am I to Boris?
You're 38 back.
Oh.
That's going to be a little bit.
But I pitched to you guys at the same rate, so it's going to take a lot to. Although this is 2 appearances in a row.
This is three in a row.
All you got to do is make me need you.
If it makes you feel better, I listen to the episodes that I'm on. So if you get me on all of them, you'll double your listener.
That's a big deal. If I was in Sam's seat, I would be taking that
Thank you. And you make sure to download it
and then delete it and then download it and then delete it for a while before you listen.
I got 6 phones. I'm downloading that shit on all of them.
I would love to see our numbers. I actually can't. Becca is the only one with the password, and I'm pretty sure she forgot it.
I'd love to see
our paltry analytics.
Should we
keep waiting. I bet the email is probably full. Becca's got a secret email that's just full of sponsorship deals from like Black Rifle Coffee and Athletic Greens.
My Pillow, perhaps.
My Pillow guy. He's been banging down the door. Rudy Giuliani's left us some voicemails.
Yeah.
Probably.
They just keep hearing Tyler talk about how much he hates Italian people, and they're like, oh, great, bigots.
Giuliani's like, wait a second. He looks down at his garlic bread hands and he's like, oh, like, that's me.
Should we put this in the books?
Yeah, let's read. Let me go first because I started drinking a Labatt Blue and and I finished my juice so quickly and I needed more beer to fuel the brainstorming juices. So I poured one more drop of my cherry limeade Blake's Hard Cider. Again, it's 6% and it's gluten-free. Yeah, I like there's a flamingo like floaty like in a pool on the can. So that's nice. It reminds me of summer. This would be delicious if I was drinking in the summer. I think I could only drink two and then I'd get a headache, but it'd be a delicious two. How do I rate a cider? This is weird. I don't know. I'll give it like a 4.5 because it feels weird to give something that's not a beer higher than a 5. On this podcast, but I don't know. It was good. It was juice.
Pleasant.
It was juice. I liked it. It was better than almost all the beers I've ever had. It's weird to rate.
I'm not even getting, this is so great for a cider. I'm just kidding. I like ciders.
I just haven't had enough ciders, so I don't want to say that. It's just not, it's not too overbearing with its sweetness, but it's just like a cider. I've only had a few ciders, so they all taste very similar to me. I'm not
getting that much more than beer.
You should drink more ciders.
Yeah, maybe this is your wheelhouse. This is bringing you joy.
No, see, here's the thing, though. Drinking the beer and hating it is part of its cathartic experience.
I get that. I get it. It's like watching a bad movie.
That's why I like to crunch up broken glass into my cider, so I still get the unpleasantness.
Yeah, smart. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I gave it what, a 4.5 or something.
That's
I don't
what
know.
You said.
Strike this rating from the record completely. But anyways, Zach, why don't you go next?
Yeah, so I had the Valdieu Grand Cru. It's quad, 10.5%. So I said at the beginning it was like very sweet, kind of syrupy. And I wasn't sure how it was going to play out, but the more I drank, and this is probably, and this has been my experience actually with every high ABV beer, like a third of the beer in, it was great. I loved it even more than at the start. The worst sip was the first one. So I think if you have this, just muscle through a couple of sips because eventually you're going to kind of relax into it. And it was very pleasant. It did not feel overbearingly sweet after a few sips. And yeah, I ended up really enjoying it. I would give this probably a 7.4. I think if that first sip had also been pleasant, that would have gotten it maybe another full point on that. But I had to like forget how bad it was.
Yeah, you're so drunk by the end that you just
correct
at that point.
Correct. Yeah, I'm having a great time.
Yeah, great. That's great.
So I had Motion Poets IPA, 7% ABV, and I wasn't sure how I felt about this beer until I realized that I hadn't actually poured the whole thing into the glass. I had a little bit left at the bottom, and I was like, oh, nice. I wasn't like, ugh. Or even like, meh. But I also wasn't, oh! I was, oh! And I feel like a 7 out of 10 reflects, oh! So that's what I'll give this.
Nice.
It's really honest.
Yeah.
And vulnerable of you. Yeah.
Yeah, that was 7... even feels a little bit higher than that noise you made, frankly, but I think you should trust yourself on this one.
I think you need to calibrate with where my feelings are.
Yeah, that which I'm not doing. So.
I've never heard you make the 10 noise that you made. I've never heard that come out of your mouth.
Well, I should hope not. You haven't. Never mind.
Quoted you.
You haven't flipped me onto my back.
That's for the wife only.
Jed, I'm sure you remember our email is
brewsdaytuesday@gmail.com.
thisyoutubepodcast@gmail.com. Our URL, of course, you'll remember is
brewstues.com.
Bingo. And you have probably
keep you down.
You've probably been on since we joined Blue Sky, so you remember we have
our Blue Sky social account is brewstues.com.
It's the same as the Twitter.
Same as the Twitter, so I don't need to say
which doesn't exist anymore.
which doesn't exist anymore, so I don't need to know it. There you go. Perfect. but yeah, Sam, what will you be having next week?
God, it's so nice to be asked that for once. I have a milkshake IPA that is pitching itself as being like intense and flavorful. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, bitch? So we'll see if it is, in fact, bitch.
You'll find me in your yard with all the other boys, I guess, next week.
Wow. Yeah. Maybe I'll come through just for the bit of it all.
We're all going to be there. We can't help ourselves.
We certainly cannot. Well, thank you. We already did all the socials, so I don't need to do that. Don't let the bastards keep you down. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Catch all your tears. Drink the remedy. Forget about your problems. Here comes a shot. Lose all your thoughts. Drink the remedy. Forget about your problems. This one's on me. Fix you for free. Drink the remedy. Forget about everything. This one's on me. Got what you need. And take your medicine. You feel better.
Oh, that was great. That was so fun.
That was kind of like how Tyler sounds, right?
Yeah.
He does it way faster because he's so bored of doing it. Hey, what?
Yeah.